Hey, you guys, it's time for our Christmas edition of the movie retrospective.
Yeah, we got a couple good ones.
Now, what I was initially going to do, I'm going to do one of the ones I was initially going to do, which is Christmas Evil, a.k.a. You Better Watch Out, because it was on Shudder. My original plan was to do that along with Silent Night, Deadly Night. However, by the time I went to watch the movies for the review, Shudder had taken down Silent Night, Deadly Night. So I said, okay, well, I guess I can't do that one. But what ended up happening was that we were on Netflix, and we saw, much to our delight, that they made Russell. A 2018 Christmas movie starring Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
As badass Santa Claus.
Like, the real Santa Claus. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we have to do that one. Even if it's not good, like, but... As it turned out,
I loved that movie.
It actually was fantastic. It was like really good. I really recommend it. So those are the two that we're going to do for our little Christmas movie retrospective special. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the first one, which is called Christmas Evil. Now, this came out in 1980. Very famously, it's John Waters' favorite Christmas movie. He calls it the best Christmas movie of all time. I would probably argue with that assertion, but it is actually a really weird, interesting Christmas movie. It's usually classed as a Christmas slasher, but I would not call it a slasher. I mean, the guy does kill people in it, like dressed up as Santa Claus, and I should note that this movie actually predated Silent Night, Deadly Night, you know, where there was the big controversy about Santa going around axing people. This actually came out first. And he did actually kill some people with a hatchet. But I kind of feel like this movie is more in the line of something like... It's like a psychological thriller type of thing with some slasher elements. It's almost like a character study type of thing. I would put it like it's kind of similar to Maniac, which we mentioned before. Maybe The Driller Killer. It's almost kind of like a low-rent Christmas version of Taxi Driver, if that's not too weird to say. It's kind of like that, because a lot of it focuses on the main character, whose name is Harry, and he was this, I guess like back when he was a kid in 1947, like he saw his dad dressed up as Santa, but he thought it was really Santa. But Santa looked like giving oral to his mom. Like, and that's kind of what I thought the implication was there.
Yeah.
And he was, like, traumatized by that because he thought it was really Santa's, where it's like, no, it was Dad. And he had, like, this big, you know, traumatic episode from it. And when he got older, like, and got into middle age, you see, like, the inside of his sad-ass apartment. And he's, like, this Santa-obsessed dude. He's, like, got Santa pajamas. He's got, like, Santa shit, like, all over his house. And he also, creepily enough, he watches all the neighborhood kids, like, through binoculars. And he has these big ledgers, like, in his house with, like, good kids and naughty kids. And he has all their names in there. And he, like, spies on them. And then he, like, writes down what they do and shit. But, like, as the movie goes on, like, he gets nuttier and nutter. And eventually, he starts thinking that he actually is Santa Claus. And that it's his job to kind of go mete out justice to the good and the naughty people, like children and adults. It's kind of a strange, like I said, it's a very strange movie because you almost kind of feel sorry for the dude. Like, he's such a schlub. He's so crazy. And, like, some of the people in the movie are, like, such dicks to him that you can almost kind of understand, like, why he would sort of go off and it's just like, you know, I'm just gonna stick a fucking sword through your eye because fuck you, buddy. You know what I mean? And it's like, he's almost like, he gets to a point where his dementia is like, he feels like he needs to, like, embody the Christmas spirit. And if people are gonna be, like, taking the piss, or if they're gonna be mean to him on Santa on Christmas, or if they're gonna be mean to other people, then he's gonna do something about that, like Krampus style, you know what I mean? So he's going to, like, kill him and stuff. But like I said, and I'm not going to spoil the ending scene because it made me laugh out loud because, like, I was not expecting it whatsoever. Because, like I said, this is a very gritty, you know, sort of 1980, like, kind of dirty, grotty kind of, you know, movie about a sad dude that thinks he's really Santa Claus and, like, how that kind of plays out. And he does good shit, too. It's not all, like, him killing people, like I said. So it's not like Silent Night, Deadly Night, where it's like a slasher. But it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's a very strange movie. It's kind of languidly paced. I can see what John Waters liked about it. The cinematography is actually very nice. They have it on Shudder, and like I said, it's called Christmas Evil, but the title card, when it comes on, actually says You Better Watch Out, and I think that's mainly what it's known as. It's also known as Terror in Toyland, which I don't know why, but I mean, the main guy works at a toy factory, so I guess that's why, but that seems like a stupid title. But, you know, I'd recommend it if you want, like, a kind of a strange, dark Christmas movie, like I said, in the vein of Maniac or Taxi Driver or something like that, where it's kind of like mostly like a long psychological study of somebody losing their marbles, and then occasionally there's like some people getting chopped up with hatchets and stuff like that. But, you know, so check it out. It's on Shudder. It's kind of a weird movie, and I think it kind of gets, I mean, there's a lot of Killer Santa movies out there. I think Silent Night, Deadly Night is a lot better known, but this actually took place a little bit before that.
I can see how some people might like these slasher Santa movies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're an alarming amount
you
of them.
You might want to see a slasher movie. It just happens to be Christmas, so you're going to put that on. Me, personally, I kind of prefer the Krampus theme movies.
Yeah, I do too. Like, Santa ones are kind of
they're
kind
of forced. They're kind of samey. It's also kind of, it's kind of a contrived, they feel very contrived to me.
Like, yeah, I see what
you're
saying.
Out of our way to put this in the, but, you know, I'm sure it's possible to write a real good one, just I haven't really seen a real good one yet. It just looks kind of contrived. But the Krampus ones to me are, like, spot on.
Because
you got a good force, which is Santa, and an evil force, which is Krampus.
I'm like surprised that more Krampus movies weren't made before, because it seems like, I mean, the Krampus legend has been around like in Europe and stuff like that for, you know, forever.
And it looks badass.
Yeah, and it looks badass. So you'd think that like more people in the United States would have known about it, but it only seems to have got real popular like maybe the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah, they didn't know about it back in the 80s.
I had never heard of Krampus back in the 80s. And I was like a goth kid, you know what I mean? Right. So you'd think I would know all about that creepy shit, but I didn't.
No. If they did, they would have made him.
Right. So it's like, I'm
because that would have gone right in with this crazy shit like Rawhead Rex and all the monster movies of the, you know, old European monsters that come back. Krampus was perfect for that. But I don't think the Hollywood guys that made these things, you know, they didn't have the awareness of it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, like I said, it wasn't really in the public consciousness. No. And I think they thought, well, even if you did know about it, like if you made it, people would be like, what the fuck is a Krampus? You know what I mean? Like they didn't know. But it's like now
they would go like, you made that up.
Yeah. It's like, that's not real. Shut up.
That's what they would have done.
But yeah, that's I actually really liked the one that was just called Krampus that came out however long ago it was, 2012, 2013, I can't remember. But it was, you know, several years ago. I actually really liked that. I was thinking, like, going into it that it was going to be, like, a comedy. And it did have, like, comedic elements, but it was, like, actually a lot darker than I thought. And I loved the end. I thought the end was, like, fantastic. There's also, like, you know, while we're talking about Christmas movies, we might as well talk about some other good Christmas movies. We just watched, because I like Christmas-themed horror movies, not necessarily Santa slashers, because they tend to be kind of samey, but I do like horror movies that are set around Christmas time. The one that's called A Christmas Horror Story, it's an anthology movie, and I had seen it before, but I just watched it again last night, and that is actually really good. I would recommend it, and it has a Santa Krampus fight. Also has elves getting a zombie virus and Santa having to like take them out. Also has the Shat playing a radio. He's kind of like the Frame story, and he's like a radio DJ, and he just gets drunker and drunker and drunker and more depressed like over the course of the movie, and it's like really, really funny. He has like some really great lines, but it's four different stories, like, of varying quality, but there's a Krampus one in there. There's one, like, about a changeling that's very cool. It's, like, really creepy. And then there's one about, like, some kids that go into, like a school basement where, like, a murder took place, like, the Christmas before, and they're making a documentary about it and stuff. But,
it was a creep show type.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was four or five different stories. That's actually pretty good. I saw this really weird one last year called Red Christmas. Dee Wallace was in it. I think I saw it on Netflix. I don't know if it's still there, but it was like the opening scene. I was like, Merry Christmas, everybody. The opening scene was like her at an abortion clinic.
Damn.
She's like getting an abortion, and then like somebody bombed it. And then like they tossed like the fetus like just into a bucket in the corner, and its little hand comes out. So you're like, oh shit.
Man,
so like the aborted fetus, once he's grown up, he like comes
back.
Oh,
that one! Yeah, I saw that one. That was good. That was awesome.
It was so good, though. It was like weird as hell.
Ridiculous! And the baby tries to come back. I'm your son.
Yeah, it's like the weirdest premise, but I really liked it. I mean, and like the family dynamic, like she gets all her family like back to her house because she's going to sell the house and blah, blah, blah. And they all like hate each other and they're all like sniping.
That movie was damn absurd, man.
I really liked it. Plus you got to see somebody get killed by a blender, which is always a plus. But yeah, I really liked that.
It was just
one.
Like, you know, it's most disturbing movie possible. They were like going out of their way. To push,
like,
your buttons.
Let's just offend everybody.
Let's offend everybody.
I loved it, though. I didn't find it.
It was pretty good. I want to see that one again, actually.
I thought it was
Let's see that one again.
But I, you know, I like that kind of shit.
We'll see that one again.
But so let's talk about, because I can't think of any other ones that I've seen recently, but let's talk about the wonderful. Okay, I'm scrolling through Netflix. I guess they do a Christmas movie or several Christmas movies every year. But their one this year, they were very excited about it because it's like, probably the only thing that they had to say, they didn't have a script, they probably didn't have nothing. They just said Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yes, make that movie. Here's all the money.
You know, I'm a fan of Russell. I love Russell.
That's why.
This stands the test of time, of Russell. It stands the test of Russell.
I think this is going to be...
It's a really good movie.
I kind of want to buy it because I kind of want this to be like a yearly...
You can watch that every year.
Right. Like, just like on Thanksgiving, I always watch Mystery Science
Theater.
Kurt
Russell plays Santa Claus, and he's actually doing the things that Santa Claus does.
And that's really good.
And it gives it plausibility. He's got supernatural powers. He's got a sleigh. It looks almost like a jet in the inside of it.
Yeah,
it's got, you know,
it's very IKEA looking.
Yeah.
It's very sleek and Scandinavian.
He lives on the North Pole. He's got elves. He speaks Elvish to him.
Yeah,
it's bizarre, man.
Which I guess is like
the
a Laplander kind of language.
It's magic.
The elves don't speak English.
It's magic. It's not technology, but it does kind of look technological.
Yeah,
and he just does a bunch of cool shit. But that's good.
Yeah,
and you know, runs into trouble. He's got little meters to say, you know, what the Christmas spirit level is, and
if it goes too low, the crime starts going up.
Yeah, he keeps the crime level down, and he's got to deliver all these packages on time. And these kids sneak into his sleigh and screw him up, and he crashes it. Does a bunch of stuff, and he's got to get all of his sleigh and all his reindeer back together, and got to get the elves to help get him out of jail. He goes to prison. Yeah, you know,
it's like,
when Santa Claus goes to prison for a while, you know what I mean? You know it's going to be a good movie.
I loved this movie. It's honestly, what it is, the producer of it, very famously, is Chris Columbus, who obviously he did Home Alone. He did Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
So, and the director of it was, his first live action film. I can't remember his name, but it's the same guy that did the Angry Birds movie.
The quality's very high. The soundtrack's good.
Yeah, so it's kind of like...
It feels like a Spielberg movie.
Yeah, it's Spielbergian. It's like a fantasy. There's like a lot of really cool, like, magic and special feels like Harry Potter kind of shit in it.
Yeah.
But also, it feels like a throwback to, like, your darker 80s kids movies. Like Gremlins,
like,
or
Gremlins,
The Goonies, or Adventures in Babysitting, or something like that, where it's little kids and it's like, you know, kids can watch it. But
adults could watch it, too. I wouldn't put it so kiddish. I mean, it's fun for the whole family.
That's what I mean. It's a family movie.
I'd almost put it up there with, like, E.T.
Yeah.
Not like E.T. E.T. or maybe like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Something like that.
Yeah.
And,
but there's danger in it.
Yeah. You know,
it's shit like that. Like, bad shit happens.
Kurt Russell sings in it.
There are hookers.
He sings in it. Yeah, he's doing kind of like Indiana Jones style Santa Claus action. It's just, you know.
I liked him in it because he seems like...
he's mad that they keep drawing him fat, and he's like, well, who is that? I am not fat.
I know, that's one of the recurring...
Yeah.
Do you see this butt?
Does my butt look
as big as it? Yeah, what I mean. Yeah. Like,
he's got a cool Laplandish outfit.
Yeah, because he looks really good in this. Like, he looks super cool with a beard anyway, and like I said, that's probably why they were like, oh, he should totally play Santa Claus.
He's got angles on it.
But he's really good at... He's kind of avuncular in the fact that he's like, he doesn't really take any shit. He's not mean, or he's a little bit cranky, a little bit. But you can see why, because, you know, these kids like snuck in.
Well,
they
Santa
wanted
Claus
to...
is not a pussy.
Yeah, he's like a macho Santa.
Yeah, right.
He's like
Santa. That's why they got.
But
they
he's
got
nice though, and he's nice, and he's like, he gets annoyed and irritated.
And he knows everything that you had and everything that you wanted for Christmas.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe in him, he starts. Well, remember that time when you were 13 and I gave you this. That's it. Remember that. Remember
when
you wanted
this. Yeah, and he remembers
this?
Everyone's
yeah,
names
everyone's
and
name,
he remembers
right.
what he gave you
yeah.
for Christmas. Like every
and
kid,
he's
got a Han Solo figure.
And then there's a bunch of stuff. Then there's a bunch of stuff that's never really been done that I can. sufficiently to my to my satisfaction what the North Pole is all about. They show the North Pole base, the North Pole filing card filing system of where all the data is kept. He's got holographic screens though too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like well, oh, you know, all the old school letters. He keeps all those.
He's got them all.
Looks like a huge library.
Yeah,
and it's like. I honestly, I love how the little girl that's in it, and the kids that are in it are really cool, too. There's, like, there's sad family drama. It's, like, these kids and the family, and they're super into Christmas, and their dad is a firefighter, and he died.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the previous year, and their mom's a nurse, and she's, like, overworked, and she can never be home.
Older brother went bad. He starts stealing cars.
Yeah, and
Santa
he starts,
knows about it.
Yeah, and he starts, like, going to a life of crime, and him and his sister are fighting all the time.
Mean to his little sister.
Yeah, and he's, like, I know, he was all like, man, don't pick on that little girl. Yeah. God damn it. You tool. But yeah, so there's this whole thing about like rediscovering family magic and rediscovering, you know, that's standard like Christmas movie stuff. But, you know, I really liked the kids in this. They were very charming. They weren't annoying or anything.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Special effects really good.
I really did.
Writing was very good.
Yeah, I really did like, I mean, it was funny. It was like.
Yeah, it had a traditional story structure where there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's no jumping around or anything. It's very much like. A Spielberg movie very much gave you that feeling, that positive feeling that you kind of got from the Spielberg movies when they were kind of like embodying American middle class values and like the American dream. It has you know that feeling that you got when you watched E.T. and and even Close Encounters was kind of like that. You know, it was very American middle class. I always liked that.
And I think they've successfully done that a few times recently.
We were talking earlier.
Like with Stranger Things, you know, and stuff which has a similar vibe.
We were talking about it earlier one time in the car. Is it possible for these new directors to actually kind of rekindle that feeling you used to get when you used to see those old movies that kind of glorified American middle class culture, you know, and that value system, you know? And I wasn't really sure that they could, but seeing that, I was like, no, that's it right there. I think a lot of it has to do with the music.
Yeah,
the
that
music
too.
And the dialogue.
And like I said, the producer of this also worked on some of the, you know, more iconic movies
like,
back
then.
So
another one that really does it real well is like pretty much all of the Back to the Future movies.
Yeah.
Kind of had this really intense American feeling to them.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I said, the nice thing about them is that they were family movies, but they weren't like mawkish. They weren't too sappy. They
or
weren't
anything.
Sappy. There was like danger, like people actually got killed or were in threatened, you know, to get killed and stuff like that.
Yeah, a good example would be like Indiana Jones 1.
Yeah.
That's almost that perfect tone.
Yeah.
The other ones were okay, but the first one was really the best one. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier. Like, because he bought all the Indiana Jones movies, like, in a box set. And it's like, when I was growing up, I loved the first Indiana Jones, but the second one, Temple of Doom, was actually my favorite. But when I saw it again,
it's not that good.
I didn't like it as much.
It's really, it didn't age well.
Yeah. I think it's too
screamy
zany.
And zany. And,
it's too zany.
Yeah,
the character that's, you know, Willie or Winnie or whatever her name is.
Really obnoxious.
She just got on my nerves.
It's like
bad.
T2. I didn't like it. I don't think T2 aged well. And everybody talks about how, you look at that kid is so annoying.
Yeah, I was like, God, that kid's so 90s.
There's really only one good Terminator movie, and it's T1.
Yeah.
That's really the only good one. I have them all.
It's just funny at the time, like, we thought. I mean, I liked Temple of Doom best when I was a kid because... I'm a horror.
It had a good look.
It had somebody tearing people's hearts out. How can I not love that? I love that.
It had a good look.
Yeah. It looked super cool.
But the gestalt of Temple of Raiders of the Lost Ark is just about perfect.
Yeah.
That movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Back to the Future, the very first one, are kind of neck and neck for about perfect movies. Just the tone and just the edit.
Well, you can just watch them over and over. You know what I mean? It's just like, and you get the same feeling every time.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. I like Frighteners too.
A lot of people like Frighteners.
It's like the long edit.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a couple different edits, but that Blu-ray edit is like up there with Back to the Future for me.
Yeah, I feel like it didn't get a lot of attention when it first came out because I don't think they really
knew
how to market it.
Great cast. Jeffrey Combs.
He was so good in that.
Man,
he played like such a creep. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love Jeffrey Combs so much.
Yeah, the ghosts. It's just kind of like Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox, you know, but ghosts and paranormal stuff.
And I like that he was kind of like,
kind of a dark fallen character.
Like a dark version of Marty McFly.
Yeah, but he was still a good guy. And he was trying to basically kind of like achieve salvation, really. There's a salvation story arc to it.
So. But I think that's kind of what I liked about this movie, the Santa Claus Crustle movie, which is called The Christmas Chronicles, in case I didn't mention it. It's on Netflix, and it just came out.
I'm going to see that one again.
Or it came out, like, right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, on Netflix, Christmas Chronicles. Check it out.
But, yeah, I think that's what I like about this one is, like, I'm not going to say that Kurt Russell plays, like, a darker Santa Claus, because, like I said, he's like, the cool dad Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like, he can, like, crack down if he needs to, and he gets annoyed because the kids, like, made his sleigh crash and, like, was fucking up his whole plan. You know what I mean? So, but he's not mean, and he's not mean to them or anything like that. And he's actually really charming, like, when he tries to go get help and...
Well, you know... Santa is like a Laplandish shaman that, you know, which is a sorcerer.
Yeah.
Basically. So that's kind of how he's portrayed.
Yeah.
He's like a Laplandish sorcerer. He's got technology and magic. And, you know, he's not a clown. You know, he's like something out of, in certain ways, kind of remind me a little bit of Willy Wonka. Remember that very first Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Kind of like, but, you know, Kurt's got that macho, you know, element to him, you know. Yeah.
He's like hot Santa.
Yeah. Well, he might have a gun on him somewhere. You don't know.
I wouldn't. That wouldn't surprise me.
Because he put the cowboy stuff.
He seems like that could happen.
Yeah. You know.
He'd be like, he would keep it a secret unless he really needed to.
Well, it's time for me to pull out this .45. Right.
You
know.
You fucked with Santa.
Yeah, you fucked with Santa. I got presents to deliver.
Shit to do. I got a schedule to keep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, it's fun for the whole family. And like I said, it reminded me a lot of movies from the 80s that were just kind of like that fun, like magical kind of vibe. But there was still like a lot of like adventure. And
deserves
like
a Blu-ray release.
Yeah.
I don't know why this didn't have a theatrical release.
It's just one of Netflix's...
It's a Netflix exclusive, but
honestly, it's
movie quality.
I read that it actually had like 20 million streams the first day it came out, which is like
That means that's a hit.
Yeah, so, and it's been getting like pretty decent reviews.
Yeah,
and there's
a cameo at the end. We're not going to spoil it.
I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Yeah.
And it was like the second I heard the voice, I was like, oh, I know who that is. And then they turned around and I was like, I was right.
We really recommend this one.
Also, I love the elves.
Yeah.
The elves are like little, they're not...
they're handled kind of like the way the gremlins were handled a little
bit. Yeah, they were like, they're little
but
bitty...
They're little bitty creatures.
Like little bitty creatures.
Woodland creatures. They have crazy
hair. Yeah, like
hair
little
clothes.
Sprites.
They do talk.
They talk, but they don't speak English.
No, yeah.
They only speak... I don't know if it's elvish or
He said it was elvish, but it might be Lap.
That's what I was
Laplander
thinking. Because that's what was... Because he talked to them in
whatever,
that language,
whatever language they... Some kind of weird Finnish.
And then there was that one scene, too, in the restaurant where he was, like, trying to get a car, right? And then he was, like, asking all the people, and he knew all their names, but he could speak every single language. Like, he could speak Spanish and Chinese and everything like that. So he was talking to people and, like,
pay attention to little elves in the background and making little hand signs and making little
heart
shapes to the... You know, because they talk. It's funny.
And also, there was a wonderful scene where one of the elves, like, almost, like, threatened to kill somebody with a chainsaw, so that was kind
of... Yeah, he goes, I never get
to have any fun. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Was that Lars? No. There was one in there that was, like, there was one elf that was named Bjorn.
Yeah.
And he was, like, that's all he did was eat candy canes. He was kind of pudgy, and he would just, like, lay around.
Yeah, they don't really look like people. They more look like owls with clothes on them, in a way.
Yeah, they're like little woodland sprites and little tufts of hair, and like they have clothes on and they talk and
they
stuff,
have arms and legs, but there's something kind of owl
like,
looking and kind of animal
looking.
Yeah,
they're like little like that. I really liked the elves. I thought that was adorable.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know, get some fucking eggnog or hot chocolate or whatever. Put some
this is fun for the whole family. This movie. And it is alcohol approved. You can drink eggnog and rum. You can drink Kugelkorn, you know,
if that's
tequila,
what you're into.
Anything you want.
Yeah, and you can like
you have fun time. I want to see it again.
Get some sugar cookies.
We're gonna watch it again.
We should watch it on Christmas, Day.
We should watch
it on Christmas Day. That'll like
Christmas
in,
night
or Christmas night. Yeah,
Christmas
or
Eve.
Christmas Eve. Whatever. Yeah,
we
could
see it again.
We should do that. Yeah, we'll get some booze and some cookies and
yeah,
that sounds like fun.
What we gotta do is live stream that shit. Live stream us watching it and doing comments on the channel. Super chats. Do a super chat.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. We should probably do
That'd be our Christmas special.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know if you can do it that way, but we'll see.
Yeah, because you might... I don't know.
You probably couldn't have...
You can't have it playing.
Have the camera in the shot somehow.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to get in trouble with
copyright violations.
Yeah, because Netflix is going to sue our butts and we don't have enough money to defend ourselves against something like that.
No.
So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed our little Christmas special. Check out both these movies, Christmas Evil and The Christmas Chronicles, for your holiday enjoyment.
The Christmas Crustle. Go
the
check
Christmas
it out.
The Christmas Crustle. That's what I put on the fucking card that I made. And remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar that goes right to a PayPal account if you would rather make a one-time donation. You may do that as well, and it is much appreciated. And remember, our regular shows come out every Tuesday, and we're going to have a Christmas special coming up this Tuesday, so be sure to check that out. And also, we do 13 o'clock matinee, which is new movies in the theater. That comes out every Sunday, so be sure to check those out too. And that'll do it for this double feature Christmas movie episode. We will see you next time. Bye.